First Street toward Coots?
Probably on accident at times.
There are two really obviously large dead trees.
Oh, yeah.
On Baker, looks like real fire hazards.
No, Monday though. Went out in the mud. It was a good time. Got stuck up on pine nuts. I mean, the water was down about this far. But if you scratch that away, bone dry. Really interesting. And you're driving across one soil type that just no traction on a brand new vehicle. You're just sliding all over, man. What's that? Yeah, but we basically had to like throw branches from, you know, luckily there was a project with lots of piles. Just throw those branches under the wheels and got some traction. But it was fun. Collected some buffalo grain. What's that?
A rare mutter in Nevada.
Railroad crossing. You know? Look
totally
out for the cars.
Out of the,
can
you
spell
know,
that
field,
without
so
any
it was great. It was like, we're going to collect seeds regardless.
THAT.
Yeah. Las Vegas has been inundated lately.
Yeah, it sure is.
The governor was actually up on
Railroad crossing
for the first time.
Can you spell that without any alerts?
The governor's never been to Mount Charleston. That blows my mind.
Railroad crossing, look out for the cars. Can you spell that without any R's?
I grew up there. I mean,
can you spell that? THAT.
You have real mountains up here.
I just had to make a rhyme.
A limerick.
Kind of a fuzzy wuzzy category.
Fuzzy wuzzy wasn't very fuzzy wuzzy.
But yeah, the governor went up toward the floods and actually met with the landowners up there and now has a really good understanding of kind of what went wrong, the fires and the floods, and it's a good story. I'm glad he's kind of getting it, you know? It's nice.
See? All right, 5:30, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's please call to order the Wednesday, August 6th meeting of the Carson City Shade Tree Council. Could we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Horvath.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Shirk.
Here.
Member Vorst.
Here.
Member Ozawa.
Here.
Member Pierman.
Here.
Member Trenoweth.
Present.
A quorum's present.
All right, thank you. Before we get going on approving any minutes, are there any public comments that we need to address?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. David Howlett, Nevada Division of Forestry. I'm the Urban and Community Forestry Program Coordinator. And this morning, I did receive an application for a public tree inventory in Carson City. And I worked on 99% of the paperwork. I just need a couple details from Roger. And I believe there's still a process that needs to occur in Carson City. But we have an application. It looks great. And I have already approved it. And I would have brought it and, you know, made a big dramatic thing. But nah, I think Roger and I need to work out a few details before we do that. But it's there, it's going to happen, and I was a little concerned that the time frame is actually going to be next spring. It would have been nice to kind of do it this year, but, you know, we did kind of get a late start, and, you know, pushing that through is probably not a good thing, so I'm glad that you guys have taken the time to do it right, and looks like we're going to finish it up probably next summer and, you know, turn all the paperwork in the fall. So end of next year, you guys will have an inventory, so great, wonderful news.
Excellent.
And thank you. I don't really have anything else to say. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you, David, and thank you, Roger, and staff for making that happen. That's
very good news. And that is an item on the agenda that we're going to cover. So
yep.
we'll go into more detail then.
We'll leave it with thank you, and then we'll come back to
there
it.
There we go. But I'm going to take an opportunity to introduce our new deputy. What is your title? Deputy district attorney.
Deputy district attorney.
Yeah. Deputy district attorney. It is Jennifer Mayhew.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer.
And she's been here about a week.
A week, yeah.
And so she's just kind of learning the ropes. So
she was we're not in trouble.
No.
Yet.
Not yet. She was at Park and Recreation Commission last night, and on the 18th, she'll be at the Open Space Advisory Committee, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has the Cultural Commission coming up, I think, in September. So she's going to be making the rounds, and it'll be somebody you'll see more of, and for good reasons.
Yes.
For good
yes.
reasons. So. But Jennifer, anything you want to say?
I'm very happy to be here and hope to get to know each and every one of you.
Cool. Thank you. All right. Any other public comments? All right. Moving on to item number one, action of approval of minutes. Did everybody have a chance to review last meeting's minutes?
Yep.
Do we have any adjustments or things that need to be made to it? Okay, then we can get a motion to...
I'd like to move that we approve the minutes of the last Carson City Shade Tree Council meeting.
Is there a second?
A second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Agenda item 2, modifications to the agenda. We've only got a few items today. Does anybody need to modify or rearrange that before
yes,
we move on?
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, I suggest we move item C before B, since Dave's here.
Any argument with that?
No, I also have a request for...
Okay.
We have item E, and I think that might be a little early for that at this meeting. We should reconsider this for the December meeting so we can concentrate better on the Fall Tree Care Seminar, which is, has, in my opinion, priority over this.
Okay, well...
This item
Roger, can we do that? Is that something that we're allowed to do, or should we address it? Should we address it as it is on the agenda and then just make a motion to move it?
You really have two choices. You're on modification of the agenda now, right?
Correct.
So you can decide to postpone that to another meeting if you like, or when you get to the item, you could just make a motion at that time to postpone it too.
Either one will work.
Seems easier now.
What's that?
Seems easier now.
The only reason that I would keep it on there and just move to the next time is in case somebody else wanted to make a comment on it, on this particular topic, whereas if we remove it now, then we can't even discuss. Yes, do you have any opposition to us keeping it on and just...
No, keep it on, and then the action will be to postpone it.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you, Jens. All right. So, is there any more modifications?
No.
All right. Item 3A, regarding the absence of any council members. I don't believe we're having any council members absent right now.
No.
All right, so we have nothing to worry about on that one. All right, so moving on to agenda item 3B, which was just moved up from 3C. So this is discussion only regarding the status of the Urban and Community Forest Grant application for the tree inventory project. And we just got great news from David and a couple handouts from Roger, so I'll let you guys... kind of give us an update on how this has all went down.
Sure. You do have, as late material, you have a copy of it's a draft copy of the grant application. David and I have had a couple email correspondence regarding this, and we'll work together to address the issues that he wants to talk about. The second page is sort of a background, some narratives related to the grant application, and it does have, as David mentioned, it does have anticipated work plans and timeline. And part of the problem, of course, is the lateness of the grant really pushes this off until just kind of starting the process this fall in September with the actual conduct of the and to implement the inventory June through September. But I guess there's an old phrase, better late than never. I hope there's an old phrase like that. And as far as the process goes on our end, since the grant is below $25,000 on the request, it doesn't need to go to the Board of Supervisors. It needs to go to the city manager's office for approval. He's out of town this week, so after Dave and I have a chance to correspond over it, then we'll send it to the city manager's office next week and for his approval. Via email, I'll report back to you. But you'll have to remember that when you reply back to my email, to hit reply all, or to hit reply all in BCC, and not to have any correspondence among yourselves, you know, so we don't have a dialogue going on via email. But with that, that's all I have. If you have any questions of me, I'd be happy to try to answer them. Or David, if you have any more comments. Or...
Well, I know. Question that I had. There's the match which could be used for time. You know, time put in. From this point on, like, how do we start counting that? What's the best way of going at it? And when does that time match reimbursement actually start?
Well, now you have to tell me what the source of match is, because that's we're discussion.
Because I remember saying, you know, I think it was mentioned in the past that going to the, in front of the Board of Supervisors to even like say that we're doing this counted as stuff. So what do you guys need from us? What are our roles going to be from this point on now that the application is in?
Well, your role is going to be, you know, fairly minimum until we get to the point where we start conducting the survey. And then what I see is that we'll be keeping you updated on how that process goes. But we're not using in-kind services in terms of your time for a match.
Okay.
With a grant this size, it's really just, you know, it's easier for us to come up with a cash match. And we have that with the Public Works Department through their tree care program.
And so there's no problem with doing, so we don't have to worry about a time.
Exactly. Okay. And if I had a discussion with Darren Schultz, our Public Works Director, and he's gracious enough because he sees the value in this inventory to provide the match. And so we're going to move forward in that way.
Excellent.
And, you know, one of the things I looked at was the tree work provided by them in over the past year. But that gets a little bit odd to work with in terms of how it fits into this grant. So the cash match seems to be the more straightforward way to go on this.
Okay.
That being said, you know, I'm happy to take any match because any match that goes over, well, it's usually 50%, but we've been reduced that to 25%. But any other match over that makes me look good, makes the program look good, and the Forest Service thinks, oh, well, this guy's bringing in, you know, that's how we get paid is the match, really.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see more coming in, they're like, send more money that way. You know, that's an indication to keep it going. So I'm always happy to accept more match only after the grant period has started. Which, you know, how it works is, you know, I've got the application pretty much accepted and done. I'm just going to send it back to him. They sign it. They get all the fiscal people to sign it. And then it comes to me. I sign it, goes to my fiscal, and then to the state forester. Once he signs it, right after that, everything can happen. You can expend money, but you can also, any time you guys even having a discussion about it right now, every single person's time right here is valued after the grant period has begun. So, you know, when the grant comes in, you get, like, volunteer sheets where you're putting people's names down, how many hours they're putting in. That goes in, feeds my match. It helps me bring in more money to you guys. So
Okay. Keep
it coming.
Perfect.
That's the only point.
So knowing that, that's a good point. Then what we'll do is we will put together a form.
I have one if you want. Okay, if you don't want to do that, I'm happy to send.
That'd be fine if you want to email that to me, and then we'll use that form at these meetings.
Absolutely.
And we'll log our time.
Perfect.
And we'll log our time in terms of administering it, too.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot easier to track administrative time. You guys, varying sources of income, so it's kind of, we just value at the volunteer hour rate, which is $22.50. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, for this many people sitting and talking about it, even for a few minutes, you know, you can get a couple hundred dollars a match right there very easily. One thing I did want to mention also is, you know, there is a software package that I'm working to procure for the whole state. And, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to do is throw Carson City and several other state entities into a class where they were going to learn about this software package. So that's going to be kind of pushed off for a year, it looks like. I do intend to do another training in Reno and one in Vegas this year and next year. Both locations. So, you know, hopefully the, you know, cities and that come on in the next year with inventories, you know, will participate. I wanted to do Carson City early, but, you know, I see there's other things coming up and it's not easy. So, you know, I understand Roger's comments in terms of doing it next year, and that's just fine. I'll be here.
All right. Well, again, I'm just going to say thank you again one more time because I know we adopted this as a goal and it had been going on for a while, and just getting this news has relieved so much tension, and like it just, I feel like we can now move forward with things. So this is great. So thank you again, Roger and staff, and thank you, David, for staying on it and coming to these meetings and just continuously believing in us until we got it done. So
great.
Well, and my thanks, my sincere thanks goes out to David and both the Tree Council for being, you know, so patient with this process. Seems like we kind of live in the realm of the important and urgent rather than the important sometimes. And we've had a lot of other urgent things that have kind of set this aside. But we're going to move forward from here on out.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, is there any other comments on this matter? Any other public comments on this matter? All right. Well, I don't believe we need to do any action on that, so that's great. Let's go ahead and move on to the new agenda item 3C, which formerly was B, which is the continued planning of the 2014 Fall Tree Care Seminar. And according to the notes here, it looks like Friday, November 14th, it was the available date of all the ones discussed in the last meeting. And then, so above and beyond that, we need to talk about the prices and what we're going to change them to, because we all kind of agreed that we were going to, you know, modify the pricing to try to get more people in here, what kind of speakers we're going to go with, and all the other kind of fine details like catering and things like that. So with that said, I think we've got a couple other supplementary things that was passed out, which is just last year's Fall Tree Care Seminar stuff for your reference, the dates, the prices that we did, stuff like that. So let's knock the easy stuff out. Catering. We had LA Bakery last year do the breakfast, and we had
Porta Subs
do the
lunch. To the rescue for lunch. It was great.
Now, Gary had talked to somebody who had – Gary, why don't you go and explain what you did?
So I recently talked to John Herzl, and he was just looking for the date and date and time, essentially, that he might be able to help. I didn't have that on hand when I ran across him, but he'd be interested in possibly helping with that. And I was thinking maybe we could do a little cross promotional thing on his end to make, you know.
So do you have any thoughts on that, Terry?
Could you explain who he is and what he does?
Sure. He does a lot of catering. He also owns a restaurant here in town. He also has a kind of a what most people would call a roach coach that goes around. So he would be able to a food truck.
I think most people call it food trucks these days. Strike
that from the record, Cheryl. Yeah,
right. Is that on television?
So,
what
so
restaurant?
It was Grandma Hattie's. It's Grandma Hattie's, and so he's active in the community, and he said he'd be able to help. So that's something that we can discuss with him.
Would you be able to go back, take that date to him, give him the number that about, you know, somewhere between 40 to 70 people could be coming to this, see what he would price quote us for that so that we could then cross-reference with what we would be spending on Porta Subs? I'd much rather support a local businessman first. Not that Porta Subs isn't, but there's varying levels. So could you get that information?
Absolutely.
And then just, you know, can you just shoot that back to me? Or do we have to wait until October to get that information? I guess it's enough time to give him a heads up if we go with it or not go with it after the October meeting.
Yeah, that's all I asked for, is a reasonable amount of time to get this all together, and I'm sure it'll be able to.
I mean, I'm cool with pursuing it as long as the price is right.
Yeah, we could do a little price comparison, and you know, and if he's got a food truck, we might be able to work out a deal where maybe the food truck comes up to the community center, and maybe we provide a little voucher or coupon for the attendees, you know, worth X amount, you know, $7-$9 or whatever it is, and then they can, you know, we'll prepay it, and maybe they can redeem their coupon with an order of what they want for lunch. You know, maybe you could do it that simple, although that may take some time standing in line and ordering your lunch, but something may, you know, probably be better if we worked with him and had it pre-ordered, I imagine.
Right, something a little bit more catered.
Yeah, if you had 40 people standing in line, that'd take up their whole lunch hour.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, never mind that.
Speaking of catering, do we want to stick with LA Bakery for breakfast? Or do you want him to get a quote for breakfast and lunch?
Let's get a quote from LA Bakery, because they've been so good for us for the last, what, 3 years now or something like that. So let's see what Ollie says.
I'll go see him.
Yeah, okay.
And get back to you.
So Gianna's going to LA Bakery. You're going to...
That's for breakfast.
That's for breakfast. You're going to deal with Grandma Hattie's in the Vatanash for lunch. In a pinch, we'll keep Porta Subs in the back of our mind, because in a pinch last year they came through for us. So, did you have anything?
Not anymore.
All right, sweet. Yes.
So the high school is out of the loop for doing any kind of lunch. I know it fell through last year,
For this time, well, we had an opportunity that came up here, a new opportunity. So with that, already, yes. The wheel's already rolling when Gary walked in on that. We're just going to go with it.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Okay, so that's the catering.
Can I just confirm something here Roy mentioned
absolutely.
To me? It says October 1st is our last meeting before the seminar. So is there no, I know there's no meeting in August. There's no meeting in September?
We go every other month. This is our August meeting. So then we skip September and
See?
Go in October.
Go. Carry on.
All right.
Thank you.
Glad that was clarified. All right. Okay, let's move on to the prices now. It was suggested that we go ahead and reduce the prices because of our dwindling participation in this. So the idea to come up with three different tiers, one that gets ISA certain education points, one that doesn't, and then a student fee. So essentially it was tree care specialist, community members, and college or high school students that wanted to get the information.
Wouldn't the students want to get the credits too?
It would more for like student discount, like if you're in college or if you're in high school, but you just want to come and ISA education points, I believe that goes towards like continuing your certifications once you're already certified. So unless the second tier would just be community members, private homeowners, people who care. And then third tier would be just student, and that would, again, just trying to get kind of just more, you know, a younger generation to come in and hear this information.
So, Kyle, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Gary.
Did we also mention last time that we could do something that if students like in high school level come, maybe they could get a little extra credit?
Trying to get extra credit from the parents or and, from the teachers?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's a good thing to explore too.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes.
In order for that to happen, we had to go into the school ahead of time and trickle down.
From the top,
so that they can encourage their teachers to offer that on that day, so that if their students miss that class, it's well prepared ahead of time for that scenario, and to offer extra credit in their curriculum.
That's why we're going to approve it right now and have 3 months to make that process happen.
Right.
Okay. So is there any? Is everybody okay with the three-tiered pricing level?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, within that pricing level, the suggestion was to go $55, which is a $20 discount for the certification one, $45 for non-certification, and $35 for students. So doing a $10 price break between the three tiers.
That's great.
Impressions, opinions.
I actually would raise the commercial rate by $5 and reduce the private rate by $5, so it would be 60 and 40.
Okay, so I'm going to go to our expert on the scene here, David, who enlightened us last time when you pretty much said $75 was outrageous.
Well, you're not going to like what I have to say, actually.
Okay, what is the industry standard for something like this?
There isn't one, really. I mean, actually, I give out stuff for free a lot of times.
Yeah, I don't like what you're saying.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
The problem is you can't actually enforce that. You know, someone could pay the lower rate and then just fill out the paperwork themselves and send it in. The fact that you've actually provided a sheet for them to sign up and just going through the process of mailing it to ISA, unfortunately, you know, you can't keep rules or maintain rules that you can't enforce.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Do you know there's a crossword puzzle that we do? It's pretty awesome.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get ISA credit for that?
This is not a typical, you know.
No, but I think that's reasonable. We did talk about last time and, you know, like, say to show up for, you know, they're planning, Ed Gilman's coming to Las Vegas, and that's probably going to be priced at, like, you know, $75, $80. Includes a lunch, usually. That's okay. You know, it's not great. It's not bad. It's catered, you know, sandwich, something like that. And then usually, like, an all-day event, like, 6-7 credits, you know, that's kind of typical. You know, $10 an ISA credit is sort of the standard throughout the state, but, you know, like, when I do, like, in 101 classes, I'm trying to bring people in, so, you know, it's usually free.
Right.
There is a way you can actually sit there with your smartphone and check every single person that comes in, their name, to see if they're ISA certified or not. You know, do you really want to do that? It might be worth it. I don't know. But I'm just saying it might be difficult to enforce that. But.
Okay.
So
but you could still do it, yeah.
So do you know how many ISA credits ours is worth, three or four?
I don't
I don't have that information, but I guess my question to you, David, is does a three-tier make sense if you did in terms of professional, non-professional, and student? Would that make sense, or do you think that complicates the
fee structure? Yeah, it complicates it, but we always, it's pretty typical to provide a student price, obviously. But, the two-tier, professional, non-professional.
But just maybe make it.
That's two prices,
Two prices, one for adults and one for students.
Kids, basically.
Right, yeah. Right.
Maybe something in between the 60 and 40.
Because the whole idea was trying to get more community,
sure.
Community yeah. To come in here and see kind of.
I'd like to see more homeowners and sure. Business owners throughout the community.
How about putting private people and students in one tier, going for 55 for commercial, and bringing down. Students or private people to 40 or 35.
Sure. I mean, my understanding of the pricing is almost exclusively professional level, ISA, Arborist and Reno and Vegas. Mm-hmm. And, to bring in a landowner, maybe a little bit less, but, there are people that are very interested and willing to pay that. And you guys bring them in every year, but, to expand that a little bit, I don't know, just.
Really, from a purely business standpoint, we've got to figure out how much our expenses are.
That's what I was about to ask.
We're not going to lose money.
How low can we go without getting hurt?
I think if we're going lower, we're going to get more attendees. I think early promotion.
Right, but we got to figure out what our expenses
rise as well.
Sure.
We could also offer two rates, like one up front and then later on.
Catering is the main cost. So would $35 be something we would be covered with?
Well, if we had more people than we did last year, sure.
No, this was a cost for catering. How much is going to
catering? I know the breakfast was,
you could say maybe breakfast and lunch, maybe anywhere from 12 to 15 or 18 bucks a person.
So if we ask for $35 for attendance for privates and students, we will be well covered.
We get lots of people.
Right. Yeah, we'll at least cover the catering.
And then,
Roger looks concerned.
So
about
I would suggest we have $35 for the low tier and $55 for the commercial tier.
You could also perhaps offer a discount for people sign up early, so you know how many people are coming.
We have in the past.
That doesn't work.
It didn't really make that big of a difference. No. Even with a $10 discount for signing up early, they just didn't sign up. Is
Terry,
what happened?
I just wanted to ask you since you're. Perform these on a regular basis, what would your suggestion be for the prices?
It's based on ISA hours, like say 10 bucks an hour. What would you pay to sit and hear somebody talk for an hour, but it's professional credit, 30 of which you need in 3 years to maintain your certification. So people try to get them as cheap as possible, so they end up going to the 101 ISA class these guys are professionals, probably could be teaching class, some of them. We want to avoid that situation, certainly. On the other hand, you guys are kind of offering a middle level. It's not a national level speaker. Who are we speaking again? I can't remember. I think we worked on that.
We're about to figure that one out next.
Yeah, I was going to say, it really depends on who's
coming.
It's
usually like Cooperative Extension
puts
in a lot, and then the different industry people.
Sure.
So it kind of more regionally, and statewide more than anything else.
Will that be an expense for us?
That's something in the past we've been able to get our speakers for free, but there have been some speakers where we've had to pay the travel expenses to come up from Vegas, I believe. But my understanding is the biggest expense is the catering, and then you've got the tree that we purchased, which we could go for a sponsorship like we did on the Arbor Day, and then you've got printing of stuff is an expense. But, looking at the budget from – yeah, exactly. So it's – I think if we had our expenses at like 20 to maybe 25 bucks a person estimated, and then we started pricing from there, then we'd at least be able to cover.
But it's a full slot of speakers all day, or is it how many
five,
hours?
Five or six speakers. It goes from 8 in the morning until 4:30.
And from an ISA member standpoint, they want the maximum number for the cheapest price, so the more the better. Obviously, if you can add another speaker,
right.
Always good for like a full day kind of event.
You had seven speakers, I think, last year.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 speakers?
Yep.
It looks like there were, nobody spoke twice. It looks like there's seven of them. And you know, really the speakers come from, we've had University of Nevada, Reno speakers. We've had Forest Service speakers, arborists. We've had cooperative extension people, and we've had people in the trade. So it's been kind of a mixed bag of speakers.
And really, we've kind of come up with a theme each year and then kind of went from that.
I know that if we get on it, we can have probably a speaker from the Desert Research Institute.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, last year they were very interested in coming. We just notified them too late.
Yep, I remember that.
So, we can have some pretty high-quality speakers, and we also have some people who are just kind of more, hands-on type of demonstrations as well.
Good to mix up.
Yeah, kind of a mixture of that.
Could I ask Dave what you're doing on Friday, November 14th?
I'm going to be speaking at your event, obviously. Last year I was actually going to do it, but there's another event that occurs the first week of November, and yeah, it occurred last year with your guys' thing, so I had to
help
it. Partners Conference, the big one. It's like the big urban forestry conference. I can't miss that.
Okay.
But this one, you're doing it a week later, so it's great.
Perfect. Specifically, so you can.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I was sitting there with the calendar, like, okay, I can do it. Yay.
Can't fill this day in until Shade Tree Yard.
Yeah, just give me a theme and I'll talk maybe something.
The tree inventory process we could start with, that could be something.
Hey, no, that's actually pretty
that's an excellent
good talk.
Topic.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice, even just at the Fall Tree Care Seminar, to announce, you know, that project and that it's moving forward and everything like that too. So.
And I think that would draw a lot of local homeowners and community members of interest to hear what specifically for Carson City is going on.
All right, let's write in ink. David Howell. Okay, Jens, you've got your finger on the button, man. What would you like to say?
Those seven speakers Roger mentioned, is that from the previous year or is that
for
this year?
This was from last year.
That's
from last year.
Last year you had seven speakers.
Do we really need that many speakers? Because even if they speak each only for about half an hour, there's always time in between, then we're going to plant a tree. That seems to be getting pretty crowded.
I think it was pretty manageable last year, I think.
Let's finish with our money talk first, and then we'll figure out what speakers we're going to give them for $35 and $55.
I got a question for that, too. How much does a tree cost?
$300.
$300. Thank you.
And that's all going to cost. It has some effect on how grown the tree is and what type of tree.
Well, we usually get what the Parks and Rec standards are for the caliper and everything like that. So
what's appropriate for the location that we're at?
24-inch box.
But we're getting much better at getting donations for trees, so I'm confident that this tree will not hit our bottom line.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Trying to find somebody.
Could
the tree this year be a fruit tree planted at the high school orchard?
It could be. We'll consider that idea in a second here. All right, the prices, just because I want to, this is how my mind works. We already started this conversation. Two-tiered, $35 for students and homeowners.
For Carson.
Or for residents.
Right.
And 55, are you suggesting, for commercial?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a $20 discount for commercial from last year. Is everybody happy with that? Yes.
And this is, again, directed at David. That's a $20 difference between what the professional is paying and what the homeowner or student's getting. I mean, they're getting the same product. Does that seem reasonable to charge $20 more for the people in the
I don't know. I've never seen that price structure broken up like that. I mean, for students, yes. For to go to a conference, I understand. But
that seems like
kind of throw homeowners in there, too.
That seems like a pretty large spread between what between the professional, the commercial,
and
they're really getting the same conference,
right? It would really come down to the ISA points. Yeah. Like, are they getting 2 points? Are they getting three? Are they getting five? So for
every hour that someone speaks, that's one ISA unit.
Yeah.
So, we're not charging the commercials more. We're just charging the other ones less.
Well, yeah, you tried explaining that to them.
I think the other point too that we found last year is the professionals professionals in the industry, it's the company that's paying for them,
well,
or it's
true.
Their boss. So if you're sending, one or two employees, the city is footing the bill for each one, so they're not paying themselves. So
that's true, but you look at a lot of our small businesses, like Tom Henderson's business. You know, I guess what I'm suggesting is that maybe $20 is too big of a spread, but unless you would move the non-commercial or non-professionals and lump those together. I mean, if you had 55 and 35, and 35 was a student rate, that would kind of make sense to me. But but to have a homeowner, non-professional, non-commercial sit right alongside a commercial person who's paying $20 more for the exact same so information seems a little steep to me.
So let's keep the price the same and just reorganize it to where the students get it for 35 and the and adults.
And
everyone
else. Well, the idea was to create an incentive for private homeowners to attend the seminar.
I agree. You know, but even that is still $20 cheaper than it was last year. Yeah. Even at 55, it's still $20 cheaper than it was
before.
I have something to add here. Wouldn't the best way to find out the cost is to get a break-even cost? So we find all the expected costs.
Well, that's, I think and we did. We're estimating to say $20 for the breakfast and lunch catering, because that's about standard for two catered meals. It's actually low. And then you've got the tree.
But we don't know exactly. I mean, we just don't know exactly what the cost of the tree is, if it's going to be donated.
$300, and then the printing, I think, was what, like $50 or something like that? I mean, it was really.
It runs about the same every year, so we're basing our estimate
Because we get a lot of our speakers to come in as volunteers, and a lot of them are academia, so it actually helps them out to go out and do this stuff too. They kind of, that's what they do. We've been able to keep the costs down, you know, and that's actually why we've been able to make a little bit of money with even dwindling, you know, participation in this. So, I mean, in a reorganization standpoint, we've cut our costs. You know, we've become as efficient as we can possibly be. Maybe now it's time to start dropping that price so that it's more reflective, you know, and try to get more people. Because really, when I first came on, we were getting 70-plus people coming to this thing. And I think last year we had 35,
yeah,
maybe 40, you know. So not under my watch. I don't want this thing to decrease that much. So, yeah, does that answer your question or just kind of?
I guess the other thing to consider, too, is the prices aren't linear. Our costs aren't really linear. In other words, we're gonna have a one-time purchase of a tree for $300. We're going to have that whether two people show up or 200 show
right
up.
Some fixed costs.
It's kind of a fixed cost. The only place you really have variable costs is on your catering side. Right. You know, so and that's probably not a huge cost. I think you can.
And also the speakers, right?
Because if we have to pay speakers,
transportation.
Yeah, if we have to pay speakers an honorarium, or if we have to pay their transportation, generally we don't pay an honorarium. We've had people come in from California, you know, and we've paid for their expenses.
So that's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at for to come up with the cost, because the last thing we want is people to think that we just pulled it out of thin air. Yeah, you know, something that's either
we wouldn't do
a going yeah, absolutely, but something that you know that we understand is like a going rate, which Dave would probably know what the going rate
you're
is.
Kind of
roughly
price in the middle here, and that's a good thing.
Okay.
I have a question. How much money do we have in the bank right now?
You know, I didn't bring the budget. I brought that at the last meeting.
What I remember about $1,900.
Yeah. Is that about right?
Yeah.
No. So we could afford to take a loss here. We don't want. We won't do that on purpose. But every year we are guessing what is too much and what is too little. So for that reason, I would suggest. Don't raise, maybe we keep it for students and homeowners at 35, and for professionals to close the gap, we bring it down to $50. And then we will, at the risk of having to pay a few dollars next year, we will know that the lower prices bring in more people and cover all the expenses, or we need to ask higher prices. Else we're going to do the same discussion every year.
Well, and that's kind of where that you're absolutely right. We're kind of playing with
another reason is one of our goals is to educate the public, and that's private homeowners mostly, mm-hmm. about tree care, what to do with a tree, the benefits of trees, et cetera, the whole catalog. And we can do that only when we get people to come here and learn about that. So, again, I would keep, for students and homeowners, would keep it at $35 and bring it down to $50 for commercial, just to close that gap a little bit.
I think that's a good idea. Any?
Can I suggest we, I don't want just homeowners. I want all residents.
Yes, we can word it as resident. Non-certain, yeah.
Non-commercial. Fellow realtors are probably interested. Landlords, renters, just everybody.
Okay, we can definitely do that.
Do you need a motion?
I would recommend commercial, non-commercial student.
Commercial, non-commercial student, okay. And the fact is that you're going for your ISA credits. You've got to do this anyway. It is now $25 cheaper than last year. I think that's a good price point. I'm happy. Is anybody... Does anybody got a problem?
Okay. Do you need a motion?
We're probably going to make a couple motions on this, right, Roger?
Right.
So let's make a motion on the price and the breakdown.
I move to set the prices for students and private persons, non-commercial persons, to $35, and for commercial attendees to $50.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Check that off the list. Okay, we're not done yet, guys, because now we've got to figure out some ideas of who we're actually going to get to make it worth that price point. So we've got David, which in my opinion is worth $50 already.
Can you speak for 7 hours?
You get 7 hours worth of content? You know, in the past, we've always gone with some sort of theme. The theme has, you know, kind of then branched off into, you know, different aspects where we've been able to find speakers. Last year, it was tree care in a changing environment. I'm not pitching this, but this year, we had done some stuff with water-wise measures. So there's a possible theme right there to go with water and water-wise type topics.
I would suggest we keep that theme because that's something we've been working on all of the year, and we should be fairly familiar with.
Perfect.
It's also something that, I mean, we're not going to have a drought only this year. It's probably something that's with us for the future. This should actually be on the top of the list.
For me, the whole water-wise measure movement was more of a movement towards efficiency. Why waste anything if you don't have to? If you can be better and you can be more efficient, then you just flat out should be, whether you're in a drought or whether you're not. It's why waste natural resources? So that's kind of, you know, the underlying thing for that. So do we have any ideas of topics that we could pursue speakers towards water-wise measures? Are you familiar with any speakers that are doing things right now with water-wise? Go.
This is really good, actually, timing. I met with Dale Carlin. He's an arborist in Sparks, Nevada, and he's actually been paid by the Truckee Meadows Water Authority to do site visits on people who have specifically requested someone to come and talk to them about their trees. The Water Authority has been trying to back off water use for a long time, and they've done that and putting people on meters, things like that. And the back end of that is trees start dying and people don't take care of their stuff like they should. So this guy had actually gone out and done like 500 or 600 site visits to people over the last couple years. And so we're working together slowly and hopefully to get this together before the seminar, but to actually share the results of it. And we've been calling it the ugly of the ugly. You know, just this isn't when things are good, when things are happy. This is when a landowner took the initiative to call their water authority and say, hey, I got a problem, and it's related to water, it's related to trees. It's obviously his opinion, and, you know, there's something to that, obviously. But I've wanted to present the results of this for a long time, and so I'm trying to squeeze the information out of him. And he sat down, and I showed him how to, you know, do the Excel spreadsheet and how to put the information in and how we can extract and do statistics on it. I hope I can do that, but, you know, I could probably present that, you know, on his behalf, but also for the Truckee Meadows Water Authority, and we're still working on permission to use that data. But, you know, that'd be probably a really, really good topic, because it's kind of just the top five things that went wrong.
Right.
You know, you can do that, and it's based on hundreds of visits, so it's actually fairly valid. And, you know, the guy just wrote out, these are the top five problems, period. But I'd like to see the statistics behind it. How many households actually did have soil compaction issues, or, you know, watering their tree too much, too little, not enough emitters, you know, very specifically identified problems. And I'd love to present the results of that so I can maybe push him to push that data along.
Is that something, you said you would do it, is that something that Truckee Water Authority, we might possibly reach out to present that to?
Perhaps, yeah. Like? You know, there's been a little bit of back and forth, and I haven't spoken with them directly. It's more just me dealing with Dale, and Dale deals with the authority, but they did give us permission to for him to write up this report. To disseminate the information, that might be another level of, you know, permission. But, you know, that's a possibility. I can investigate that for you guys if you're interested. But, you know, I just need some time, and I'll start, you know, calling people. And
cool. Let's do that.
Otherwise, it's a good topic. After 2 years of drought, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I make a comment regarding that?
And
I think that's a great topic. That data would be great information to
it's
have.
It's cold, really.
The one thing I would caution is in the theme, don't get too narrowly restricted, because then you really have, you may have trouble finding enough speakers to cover that area. And I was thinking about this last night, actually, but I don't know why, because I didn't have anything else to think about. But
because you're dedicated to the street.
Well, one of the things I thought about, and I thought the theme last year was really good, mm-hmm. but we did have problems getting speakers that really could speak to the changing environment.
Okay.
And we lost out on DRI because of late, as I mentioned before, late notice. This sounds a little bland and maybe a little corny, but I'm almost wondering if the theme and maybe the title ought to be a little more generic, in that it's the challenges of tree care in the Great Basin or something of that nature. And within those challenges, you have drought. You know, you have what you're seeing is an emerging pest problem in the Reno Sparks area with ash borer. You know, you have
it's almost like an opportunity just to give an update on kind of how things are going.
Yeah, you can really throw in all these different challenges, and then that gives you a little wider net in terms of trying to find mm-hmm. speakers. Because sometimes it's the challenge and limiting factor is finding the right speakers
right.
and the right amount of speakers that you need.
So you say that again. Tree care challenges.
The challenge, just kind of the little mental working title I had was the challenges of tree care in the Great Basin. The challenges of tree care in the Great Basin. So it gives a wider perspective of the different types of challenges, and you can kind of maybe find a better diversity of speakers.
It's a good idea.
How about Molly Sennett on pests? Mm-hmm. And we're having an emerging pest problem because of the drought.
Molly would always probably volunteer to be a speaker.
Yeah.
Talking about diversity, just recently I learned about another benefit of trees that I never thought about, and it came when Surgeon General issued a warning about skin cancer. Skin cancer is
very strongly on the rise nationwide, to the point where even the Surgeon General issued a warning. And one of the things that we were listed as being able to prevent or minimize skin cancer cases is trees, shade trees. So I'm wondering if it would be possible to get a speaker on that subject, because first of all, it is important, and second, it puts a new angle on why having trees. So there's a new benefit now today, and I think it would be great if we could make people aware of that.
If you could find an arborist dermatologist, you know, that'd be the ticket.
That's a really open field there. I mean, you really open the floodgates to talk about anything. If we're talking about skin cancer, what are we talking about next? You know, I would say my suggestion is, I work for a local defensible space person, and something that I think is a little more on topic is, if people have vegetation on the outskirts of their property and they want to mulch and put mulch around the base of a tree, to hold that moisture in, to lock that moisture in. I think that's a little more on point, but no, I understand what you're getting at. I just think that it's a very we're getting a little off base with that.
May I add a comment? The last year's Partners in Urban Community Forestry, it's the big national urban forestry conference. The guy who was actually the star of the conference was a guy who talked to, was a doctor who University of Illinois, and he talked about, you know, the medical benefits of trees. And he went through all sorts of studies. And, you know, obviously the direct shade, yes, less sun, we understand that. But they're actually, you know, he went through several different studies where, like, the inside of a hospital where your window faces a brick wall versus the guys who get a view of a tree, they use less meds, they're out of the hospital quicker. I mean, they've statistically been able to show that over decades, really, of, you know, of research. And that's just one example. There's, you know, he shared, you know, 5 or 10 other examples. And, you know, I heard other people commenting, and he said it himself, that, you know, the benefits from trees, when we actually calculate and figure out the health benefits, we won't even consider or think about any other benefit of trees. That's what he said. And I was like, whoa. You know, once, you know, you're tying medical and our health, if you can tie anything to health or jobs, it's great. But, you know, that's almost, you could do a whole seminar on that. And that guy actually got invited to the Western Chapter ISA. I know he's at the big ISA conference. He's been basically making the circuit because of this talk he gave. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, he's a doctor, he's a medical doctor, and he's getting pulled into natural resources. So, yeah, he is the kind of now become the arborist who understands the skin cancer thing. And, you know, I know it is a little off topic if we're, you know, talking, if we want to focus on water, but just it is a very important emerging topic, and I think, and it's just going to grow. So I think you've actually hit a really important point there.
Is it possible to get somebody, not the big star, but somebody who's familiar with it and could give us maybe 30 minutes of a little summary? And
that's when you were saying that, my head was going to, like, health and human resources to see if, and not a long hour and a half topic about it, but like you said, something feel good for like 30 minutes just from like the health profession, mm-hmm. of the benefits of trees. If somebody,
it's quite possible there's somebody in the Bay Area with the, you know, the several universities between here and San Francisco, there's likely somebody doing that kind of work. You know?
Uh-huh. Maybe we could contact the CDC, yeah. And they may know somebody regionally that I'd be happy to explore that.
Yes, do you want to look around for this? Do you want to do a little research and maybe find some leads that we could pursue?
Yeah, I guess I would have to do that. But the more we talk about this, I begin to realize that this would be also an additional incentive that we could actually advertise. I mean, most of the people who attend these seminars, they've heard about watering and so on. And we want to get more people in. But if we could advertise, say, hey, this year you will also learn something about the medical benefits of the trees, and that is something we've never, many of them have never heard about.
Right.
So
I have a fairly strong academic background. I can read anything and spit it out like as if I was an expert. So, I mean, if you don't find anybody, I could just read what he wrote and read it.
Yeah. Where would I start looking?
I can give you the guy's name. I just have to look up the conference attendees and, you know, find the speaker.
Well, obviously, we won't get him in here.
Oh, no, but he would have the connections to the other researchers. You just look up anything he's written, and he has to cite every single person that he's, you know, attributing his work to. But then you find out who the collaborators are, who he's working with, and more than likely there's somebody in California.
I'll give you my contact information then.
Okay.
So thanks. I think, and I'm taking into account your defensible space thing too, because I think you hit on something with that as well. So we're talking about having a tree care seminar that's beneficial to homeowners and commercial arborists. You got to kind of throw each of them a bone. We're talking about challenges of tree care in the Great Basin. And so far, we've got water-wise measures and efficiency as part of that. We've got Dale Carlin or the Truckee Meadows Water Authority, something along those lines, talking about that specific topic of the five.
Ugly of the ugly.
Ugly of the ugly. Okay, so that could be good for certified or non-certified. Potentially Molly or somebody else talking about the pests, which is both homeowners and other. Defensible space seems to be a homeowner type thing. Health of trees seems to be more of a homeowner feel good, you know, student type of thing. So I mean, I think we're finding a pretty good balance. We've got 7 slots, anywhere from 6 to 7 slots we're trying to fill. I think we're doing pretty good at having some diversity right now. So with that said, slots 5, 6 and potentially 7, we have wind, fire. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of all the things that make it difficult to you know, care for your trees. Soil and erosion.
Kyle, I'd be happy to contact the same person I talked to last year from the Desert Research Institute.
Yeah, we definitely want somebody from,
there. And, you know, he would cover some of those topics you just talked about, so I'd be happy to volunteer to contact him. I don't remember his name offhand, but I could find it again.
What about Cooperative Extension Service? Mm-hmm. That would be a slot, possibly.
Yeah, I just want to go to them with an idea of a topic, because they could pretty, like, you know, they could figure it out and they could present it. It would just have to be a little with a little direction. And they can also talk about pests, because I believe last year we had somebody come in and talk about pests from Cooperative Extension as well. So, okay. I don't think we need to make a motion on approving all of these particular people. We have to go confirm with them. But we can at least make a motion to pursue the theme of the challenges of tree care in the Great Basin. And we can kind of throw our hats in the ring of going out and finding people based on the topics that we've already discussed. So could I have a
motion?
Oh, it's on. I can't make a motion. You guys got to make a motion.
Can I, before we make a motion, real quick.
Yeah.
So our next meeting is October 1st, which we can finalize these speakers.
Correct.
And such. My concern is getting this flyer and the theme confirmed and all that out sooner than October 1st.
We can do a save the date. Because we can do something like this where it just is more of a save the date, and then this
comes out. But the agenda doesn't have to come out till after. But
correct.
I think we need more of the marketing and the flyers and the invites way before October 1st.
We'll make a motion on that too. Once we've approved,
I think there will still be 6 weeks, and it is enough time to inform the public through press releases and flyers and other things.
All right, we're not talking marketing right now. We're approving something, and so that we can then talk about what we're going to market. So, can I get a motion for the theme for the Fall Tree Care Seminar, including the date, please, of November 14th?
I would like to move that we have our shade tree care seminar on the 14th of November, and also pursue speakers relevant to the challenges of growing trees in the Great Basin.
I second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Okay, so that's now we got all the important stuff done before we move on to our last topic. To throw your hats in the ring, I will obviously design a save the date. Mm-hmm. I will get that to you through Roger so that it gets to you. Do you want to deal with some press releases, at least just like wordsmithing some stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. And we don't have to wait till October 1st, but I agree with Gianna that one of the things that has bit us in the past is that we get this out at the very last second. And that is obviously something that we have a chance to amend here. So
you can also get it out too early, particularly the press releases, because things can change, first of all, and then people don't plan for 2.5 months ahead.
Yes, obviously. But we've got 2 months before October. It doesn't have to come out in August, but we can do something in September, and then we can do a reminder in October.
Yeah,
and
that's what I mean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if the board agrees, then Jens, please, over the next month, wordsmith something. Before you put it out in the newspaper, please send it to Roger. Roger, send it to me. We can go ahead and find the correct date as you like to put it out in there. But in the meantime, we're going to be designing a save the date. I'm going to be doing the exact same thing. I'm going to send it to Roger. You're going to send it to you. And in September, we are launching this thing as a preliminary, because in the past, it's always been the end of October, and that's incorrect, and we have failed because of it, and I'm not repeating that again. Okay? So, any other public comments on this? All right, let's go ahead and move on. Agenda item 3D, finalizing the water tips for trees and shrubs flyer. This was essentially pre-approved last meeting. I went ahead and wordsmithed everything and sent it out. So it's pretty much just for you guys to review the 10 water-wise measures we went over. And pretty much what we just need to approve is Jens's flyer and being able to put it out in the appropriate places.
I made a few minor changes on the wording. but the most important part is at the bottom. Because we, when we send it out with the water bill, we cannot list, send a list and have five pages in there. So we will have to direct people to the Parks and Recreation Office to pick up a copy there.
Did we have this online, don't we? Isn't this on the city's?
Put a PDF on. On
okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought this list was a link on our the Shade Tree Council's page on the website. It's not.
No, I think we're waiting for the flyer to be developed.
Okay. Or no, well, not. No, sorry, not, Roger. Not this, but the actual approved trees.
Oh.
The list of approved trees.
You know, that may be on there. I'll check.
Because I think if it's online somewhere, I've seen it online. We should direct them to that URL.
I think it may be on there. I'll get you that information.
Yeah. Now. As soon as I get that information, I can put it in there. And well, then.
And then it's good to go.
We are going to print it somewhere. On an office printer, or are we going to have it printed?
Yeah, we can certainly print it. You're talking about again this portion of it.
Yeah.
We can make copies and print that. And what I'll get with you on the what you have at the very bottom here. We'll firm that up and then we'll get it printed.
On the bottom, I just put the Shade Tree Council logo in there. Is there anything else I should put there, some motivational phrase? Or
I was thinking we should have our contact information or something, or Park and Recs, the address, you know, something.
I have a quick question about the flyer. It looks good. There's valid information in here. But with flyers, tell me if I'm wrong, but is this a little word heavy with flyers? I mean, when somebody looks at a flyer, I think a lot of times they can get bored with too much reading.
Yeah, it's not an advertisement. It is information.
More than
we
information.
Have 10 points. This is, as you can see, it's basically a question and answer set up where or we make a statement and then state the benefit of it. So this is not a flyer in the sense of advertising. This is a flyer on information. And so we want to give them all the information we think they need.
And if we were to decrease the content, we would have to link them to somewhere else where more content was. And right now we don't have that.
That's
you know, you don't, we don't have it somewhere else living, you know, that we can then link them to. So, you know, this going out in the water bill is definitely more of an informative statement. And then if somebody's seeking this out, then obviously they're looking for information too. My question is do we know how many of these flyers need to be printed out so we can allocate budget from the Shade Tree Council's budget for the printing of these? Are these going out to how many thousands are we printing of these?
Yeah, I mean, literally thousands. And that is what I still need to check with utilities to make sure that they'll allow that to go out in their water bill.
You know? Okay.
The other issue was, or the other item that you talked about was presented it to the Board of Supervisors as well.
Right.
And I can have a board action report submitted to the for the Board of Supervisors this week, and that would target then for August 21st as a date to present this at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
Now, is this something important enough to where we would actually have to present it to them, or would this just go in there for information?
I'm gonna leave that decision up to our new city manager.
Okay.
And I'll have that discussion with him. There has been talk about having an extra meeting every other month or so that's just going to be information only. And this would probably work well with that, but I haven't heard whether we're going to implement that or not.
Okay.
Either way, it's either going to go to a board meeting or it'll go to just the supervisor just as an information to their packet.
I think this gives us an opportunity to go before the board to show them. We haven't been before them in a while.
Been about a year, probably.
So I think it gives us an opportunity to go show, you know, something great we've been doing. And we can even mention our AIA. We have our Fall Tree Care Seminar coming up November 14th. Just so you know, we just celebrated. This is our 20th year as a Tree City USA following our Arbor Day that we had. So I think it gives us, if we could just have 10 minutes before them, we can decide to send, you know.
I'm always happy to stand in front of them. I have no problem speaking in front of the board. You know, it just does it fall in with their time and their, you know, what they've got going on.
Give us time.
I think Janice hit a good idea here. Actually, what we can do is we can make it more broad than just this, and just this would be one of several items you talk about. Just an update,
okay, an update
from the Shade Tree Council listing several items. And I think it's good. You're right. That's a good time then to promote the Fall Tree Care Workshop and to talk about the successes you've had with Arbor Day and putting this brochure together. And I have every confidence that you'll do a fine job doing that, Kyle. I will not be in town on the 21st. I'm going to be in Montana, but I'm sure you can handle it.
Do you want to set that up and let me know?
I'll set it up and I'll let you know.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I'll let you folks know about utilities too, whether this is allowable. If it's not allowable to go out with utility buildings, you know, we will make sure that it's distributed around town and city offices and facilities as well.
Didn't we have that before that we sent something out as a water bill?
No, I don't believe we actually.
I think there's a precedent.
Well, we'll check on that then.
Yeah. And Jens, just to confirm, you'll put maybe our website at the bottom, the phone number to Park and Rec, maybe Roger's cell phone number directly.
and of course,
cell phone number.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
And it would make me feel warm and fuzzy inside if there was
I'm
a Facebook logo.
I'm looking forward to receiving all that information.
Right. Thank you.
And it would make me feel good if there was a Facebook logo attached to it, because we do have a very active Facebook page.
You do?
So, mm-hmm.
I didn't know there's such a thing. Okay.
Wait. Well, we can talk off air about marketing later. But yeah, we need the contact information for our website, our social media, and the Parks and Rec number. So in addition to those adjustments, the URL for where the approved tree list is on the city's website, and any kind of other adjustments that need to be made to this in regards to grammatical or whatever. Can I get a motion to approve this to be put out once adjustments are made to the Nevada Appeal and to be able to start promoting this into the community with whatever news sources we see fit?
You want the flyer going to the newspapers?
Whatever you want to do with that. But I'm going to send them.
I'll just keep it to a press release.
Do a press release. Perfect. Yeah. And then direct them back to. Okay, so this should go up on our Shade Tree Council website. I know I went to that class 2-3 years ago. I don't remember any of it. Is that?
We can take care of that.
Okay.
And Jens, probably yet later this week or early next week, I'll get together with you and we'll talk more details about it.
Yeah, make it next week. But okay. The rest of this week, I'll be leaving.
Okay. I'll need a copy of this to go with my board action report though this week.
Okay. Well, you need more copy?
Well, there's
we're gonna make the adjustments on it.
There's some information adjustments we need to make, and I just.
Well, you will get a copy in a PDF after the adjustments are made.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
No.
I need it this week. Well, you're
talking about the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow morning?
No, I have to have the report. I have to have the information for the August 21st done by Friday. For the August 21st meeting. After me, we'll get together and talk about the details.
Yeah. All right, but I want a formal approval of this so that we can start marketing this correctly. So, anyone?
I move to approve that.
Move to approve the WaterWise measures as amended in the future for publication and dissemination in the community.
Excellent. Do I have a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Moving quite along. Agenda item 3E, and this is to determine a public outreach program to assist homeowners with tree care issues. There was a suggestion to shelf this until the next meeting. Is there any discussion that needs to be made on this now before the October 1st meeting? Okay. Go ahead. So do we need a motion to shelf to put this off to the next one?
Probably ought to make a motion.
Jens?
I move to move the possible action for determining a public outreach program to assist homeowners with tree care issue to the December meeting of this year.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that will be moved. Okay, is there any public comments? All right, good. Moving on to item four, non-action items, report only. So this is no discussion amongst ourselves, only reporting from board and staff. Terry, Jim?
I've noticed on Baker Street, as I go up toward Kuntz, that there are two very large and noticeable dead trees there. I just am concerned that the evergreen especially might be a source of pests, and both trees are probably fire hazards. They're at 2716 and 2816 Baker.
Thank you, Terry. Mm-hmm. Jens, do you have any reports?
No.
No reports from me?
I have nothing.
Nothing.
All right.
Got one here.
Roger.
We, from the staff report side, you're going to be getting an email, if you haven't received it already, from our office notifying you. In fact, there will be a press release, too, regarding the presentation of a open space management plan that's being developed, draft plan. It's the open space management plan for the river area. As you know, probably know that we're acquiring a lot of property along the Carson River. And we're going to have about 7,000 acres of open space. About 3,000 of that is going to be properties associated along with the Carson River. And staff is developing a management plan for those properties. This is a requirement from the BLM in order to transfer those properties over to us. And that management plan is going to be presented to the public on August 18th. We're going to have a open house review of the plan that'll be located in the lobby area in front of the theater, and that'll start at I think 4 o'clock and go till 5:30. No, it's 3:30 to 5:30. You can drop in, take a look at the management plan. You can make comment, and if you would like to stay over at 6 o'clock during the Open Space Advisory Committee. They're going to be addressing the management plan. It'll be discussion only, no action taken at that time. And so you're welcome to attend that meeting as well and provide any comments you have regarding that plan. And that's an open invitation to all members of all of our commissions and committees as well as the general public. So we'd like to encourage you to...
Where is the meeting?
It's going to be in the community center. The open house presentation will be in the lobby area in front of the theater, and then the meeting subsequently after that at 6 o'clock will be here in the Sierra Room. And so you're all invited. We hope that you show up. It's a very important subject for us because it's really going to define how we manage our open space properties from now into the future. So please attend.
That date again is?
That is August 18th.
Thank you, Roger. All right, if there's no more reports, do we have any future agenda items other than the one mentioned by me? If anything comes up, email them to you, and then Roger, you can email them to me, and we'll go ahead and get those in. All right, one last chance, public comments. Anyone? All right, let's go ahead and make a motion for adjournment, please.
I move that we adjourn the August 6th meeting of the Carson City Shade Tree Council.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.